For an inside look at the state's biggest footy league, it's the Monday Waffle.
Welcome to a special episode of the Monday Waffle. Now, you may be thinking, there was no waffle on this week, but we've still got you covered here at the Monday Waffle podcast. My name's Dan Litchens, I'm your host today, and I'm joined by Will DeFulvio. How are you, mate?
Do you want to try that name again, Dan? DeFulvio, you say it the way it's spelt.
How are you, mate?
I'm good, Dan. Thanks for having me. It's
all good. What are we talking about today, Will?
A lot on the bill today. Like you said, there were no waffle games here in our state, but over in a little town called Adelaide, the best of the Sandfall took on the best of the West in a state league game.
We also will be talking about the performance of the Eagles in the Waffle this year, who have been performing abysmally.
And a fan favourite returned after 8 years on the sidelines, well, living his life, Jason Salasich. Me and Jules spoke to him about what's it like to come back after so much time.
We'll also be giving our tips for next week's Waffle round. Let's get into it. On Saturday the 15th of May, the best in the West, the state WA squad, took on the best of the Sandfall over in Adelaide. It was a tight match and it was very, very led up to, Will.
I don't know about that one, Dan. Was it a tight match? I think we got thumped. The Sandfall that came out was 130-77. They almost doubled our score.
That is absolutely true. They flogged us.
We kicked six behinds before we kicked a goal, and that was about in the dying seconds of the first quarter.
Yes, there was quite a drubbing. I mean, we only looked like coming back in the last quarter, and it was still 40 points. And then after we looked like coming back, we got demolished by even more than we were getting demolished by before. So it was not a great game for WA.
Yeah, but there are reasons behind that, and we'll go into that in a hot second. But let's give credit where credit's due. Let's talk about the goal scorers real quick. Luke Reynolds kicked 4 for South Australia. Tyson Stengel, Jack Hayes, Liam McBean kicked 3. And then from our own state, the best state, some would say, Tyler Keitel kicked 4 and the first goal for the Waffle side. And Matty Parker with 2.
The leading disposals, Bryce Gibbs, the former Blue, and Crow getting 31 leading disposals. Riley Knight and Matthew Broadbent also getting 29 for South Australia. Jai Bolton with 29 disposals for WA. Lockie Delahunty from Subi with 26. And Cam Eardley from the Sharks with 24. All for Western Australia. Now, Jai Bolton, winner of the Simpson medal.
Yep.
I think he played pretty well.
Yes. That's his third Simpson medal.
It is, indeed. And he's been a mainstay in the state squad for the last few years, which is very important. And it's no surprise that he showed up in Saturday's game.
We didn't come out on top at the end of the day, but it's not like it was just an absolute train wreck. There were some shining moments, some crowning achievements, and a few guys on the list definitely showed why they're playing in the state league.
Absolutely. Lee Kitchen, the captain, he played fantastic. He was a key role in the mid, and he really led the side well, I thought, despite the result.
Yeah, absolutely, Dan, but there was talks of whether the game should even go ahead before they even flew over to South Australia. We lost a round due to COVID 2 rounds ago. A lot of voices were saying that this week with the general bye should be used to make up that game. Ultimately, the footy commission decided to go ahead with the game, meaning that the Waffle side only managed to train, I think, 3 times before the game, whereas the South Australian side got 3 weeks.
That's right. South Australian side were training for 3 weeks before, the Waffle team only 1 week before. And coaches and players from all across the league had concerns, not only because of COVID restrictions, but if something went wrong in South Australia and they came back and had to quarantine, the players and the coaches would have had no income protection for those 2 weeks in quarantine. So if COVID did muck it up, thankfully it didn't, it would have been a nightmare for the players in the state squad.
And speaking of nightmares, I mean, logistically, at the end of the day, you're training with people that you have to play against every week in, week out, and people that you need to guard secrets from, your whole playing style. They might have animosity towards each other. It is a bit of a battle. So heading into a state game away from home with only 3 training sessions under your belt, I still think that the guys put up a good fight.
You raise a good point, Will. But some say it's one of the great things about the state game. I had a chat with Lee Kitchen, the captain of the WA state team, on Radio ECU the other day, and he said that he really enjoys putting on the black and gold.
It's always been a huge honour and a privilege to get to play with them. It's exciting to get to play with blokes that you normally play against, and you sort of develop rivalries against these other players because you often play on them, or they're really high-performing members of their own teams, and you end up developing those rivalries and go to battle with them. So I get to actually play with them and learn a bit more about them and see what they're like as people is always really fun. And I guess that's the big part about when you get to travel, you get to spend a bit more time together off the field and find out a bit more about them. So that's great.
Some great words there from Lee Kitchen. And it just really brings to the point, what's the point of footy? It's about community. It's about having fun, right?
Yeah.
And so if you're having fun, doesn't matter if they're players from your own team who you've been playing with for 10 years or players from an opposite team who you might not know that well. As long as you're enjoying it and you're building community around that, I think that the state game is absolutely a good thing.
Yeah, you could almost say, Dan, that the real premiership are the friends that we make along the way.
Thank you so much for that, Will. And that was the state game, WA getting trounced by South Australia.
Over at the Eagles camp, there have been issues on and off the field, on the scoreboard, with their players list. This week, Craig Vozzo, the general manager, made a few statements about what's going on with things like, you know, Willy Rioli. But I think what we should focus on is the comments he made about their standing in the waffle.
Absolutely. I went down to the press conference on Tuesday, and Vozzo spoke about Rioli, of course. But one thing he touched on, incredibly relevant to the Monday waffle, is the Eagles reserves performance in the waffle this year. Now, they got absolutely smashed by the Sharks last weekend, and not only did they get smashed by the Sharks, but almost every single week they've been smashed.
Well, about that, he does go on to comment on the gap between the waffle and the AFL, and also the amateur side of footy coming into the waffle. Now, as part of their agreement with having a team in the waffle to begin with, they have to deal with things like a reduced list side, the subs rules with the emergency and the medical sub in the AFL. That means that more players have to be on the AFL list, travelling all the time, which means they don't have as much of a pick for their waffle side.
And the Eagles have said they have been hamstrung a little bit with their waffles team.
Yeah, and the waffle team, like, again, on that agreement, they don't have a cult side, they don't have a reserve side, it's just that. They're allowed to borrow players from other waffle teams, they're allowed players from amateur teams to come up, but those players that are coming up from amateur teams, they might not have any experience playing at that waffle level. And it is a big level, it's a big step up from Amos.
Especially when some of these players playing at waffle level are actually AFL level players who are looking to go back through the ranks, recovering from injury or fighting for a place in the team. And you've got a mismatched side, some of whom are amateurs, some of whom are AFL level stars, and it's just unmatched and it's not coherent. Cohesive, I should say.
So they do have logistical issues, which is holding them back, which is why they don't have as much of a free rein as other waffle clubs do to be able to chop and change their list, try new things out. But of course, the trade-off of that is that their AFL side is a lot stronger and has a lot more support. But the most interesting thing that I think is they essentially, they're not looking for a premiership.
It's not about winning the premiership for us. It's about development, which you've touched on. And it's really hard to get the development outcomes when you have a game that unfolded on the weekend against the Sharks. We're patient, we're understanding, and we respect the waffle competition greatly and its heritage, but we can't have what happened on the weekend for too much longer.
So it makes sense, right? They just want to develop people for their AFL.
It does, but that's not fair on the 9 waffle sides that are playing for a premiership.
I have 2 basic questions from what he said there. The first one is, why not just let players go back to their own waffle side when they get dropped from the AFL? Why do you need a waffle side in the first place?
It was the case almost 10 years ago now. Players in the Eagles and the Dockers played for their waffle sides. They came up through there if they came back from injury or fighting for a place. Then they had the alignments. So Freo aligned with Peel Thunder. West Coast aligned with East Perth. It worked great for Peel Thunder. They're still doing pretty well in that, but it ruined East Perth's seasons for those few seasons.
And I guess it's still early days for them as a waffle side for West Coast.
It's only their 4th season this year.
And they didn't even play last season.
Yep.
There's no way they're going to let this drop. They're going to cop a few seasons of being trash, right? And you see the benefits in the AFL.
What do we think is a good idea? Do we think that going back to realignment clubs, so the Eagles go back to realigning with East Perth, or should we see all the players going back to their own respective clubs? Or should we see the Eagles waffle team getting dropped down to maybe the reserves or even the Colts level and playing at that level?
See, that's a very good point, dropping them down even further. I don't know if that would work in terms of their waffle side essentially being like an Eagles reserve side, because I guess that's like that leaves a whole gap in between the play style. I think you'll find players dominating that reserve side, but also not being good enough to play in the AFL. So it's almost like, what's the point entirely? To answer your original question, what do we do? It depends on your standpoint. Do you want the Eagles to be a well-supported AFL side, or do you want to do something that's fair for the waffle?
And I think from the Monday Waffle podcast view, we need to look from the waffle and say the Eagles are not putting up a good enough fight for the waffle here.
Yeah. it's going to be a bit of fine-tuning. It's going to take a lot longer than 4 years.
Yeah, and the WAFC need to have a lot of chats with Craig Vozzo and the Eagles camp in order to solve this situation out.
Good afternoon. This is your captain speaking. Coming up on the left.
His high ball to half forward is a huge one to win. Gets closed down.
We'll kick virtually on the siren.
Oh, that's your mark of the season so far. Awesome.
We fight one more round. We get knocked down, we get up. We fight one more round. Come on.
You're going to play this game, Empire.
All the best interviews here on the Monday Waffle. Will, you and Julian spoke to a very special comeback player on Radio ECU last Tuesday. Let's hear from him.
West Perth Football Club player. He won the premiership with the club. He captained the premiership with the club in 2013. Has 8 years on the sidelines, and he's back playing league footy for West Perth. Jason Salisich is on the line. Good morning, Jason. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, good morning. Thanks for having me.
It's a pretty remarkable story of you coming back. I'm quite astounded by it. It's like Will said, it's like Batman after eight years, and then he's back saving Gotham City. Anyways, before we get to the interview, what made you come back to footy?
Yeah, I just wanted to focus on something positive, and I love playing footy, and I thought that was probably the best avenue to go through, and I thought, you know, why not? Just probably young enough to still do it. Some might think not, but I felt that I could, you know, have a go, and you know, so I did.
Well, I mean, you mentioned that you reckon you're not young enough, but you see David Mundy doing incredible things every weekend. Is 36 the new 18, do you reckon?
Well, it looks that way. I took some inspiration from that, and obviously I watch a lot of professional sports as well, and you know, Tom Brady and Roger Federer, they're still running around and they're professional athletes, and I'm not quite a professional athlete, but in if you put it in, I suppose, reality and the levels, why not? I've done it before, so why not have a go?
Yeah, fair enough. During your 8 years away from the game, when did it click that you wanted to play footy?
It was last year, just before, I suppose, the finals in August. You know, I needed to do something for myself, so I was carrying a few extra kilos, started losing a bit of weight, and then that started coming off pretty quickly, and then decided that, yeah, why not? I got to a point where I thought I could, you know, get to the same level, well, not the same level, but some sort of level to play at league level at Waffle, and you know, I got to that level relatively quickly. It took some time to build up to that point, but I surprised myself how quickly I got to that point.
Yeah, it must be an unreal feeling to finally get back on the track. How have you been keeping up with your skills and fitness? How's that been going?
Yeah, well, like I said, I started in August, so I started before the guys got back to pre-season, because I obviously needed to get into some reasonable shape before I could start training and doing more of the serious stuff. So that's where I started. And then as I got fitter and fitter, and it was just a slow build, and worked really hard with our strength and conditioning coach, Corey Green, who runs his own gym, the Athletic Institute, and he got me started. He's obviously our strength and conditioning guy at the club, so I started in his gym, and then we worked at the footy club as well, and just kept on monitoring how I was feeling, and just kept building and building and building, and you know, I could do more and more and more. So got to the level relatively quickly.
Now, Jason, footy's changed, especially over the last recent year or so. There's new rules, there's new style of play. Does it feel completely different to you?
No, I don't think so. I think, you know, sitting in the coach's box the last 2 or 3 years, the game is a bit more strategic, because you could slow it up, you could put people behind the footy, and you could manipulate, I suppose, the opposition and where they wanted to move the footy. But, you know, with the standing in the mark rule, it's probably a little bit more fluent, probably not to the extent of when I finished playing, or through maybe through the middle of my career, where the ball moved relatively quickly and there was high scores. Probably at the end of my career, it got to the point where it was the more strategic side of it, and that was when I was coaching, was probably similar. But then it's gone back a little bit, I reckon, to the more fluent movement, ball movement, this year, I think.
Yep. So you've racked up about 213 games in the Waffle. Yep. Are you eyeing off 250?
No, I don't think so. We'll get through this year first. A couple of boys asked a question after the game. I said, I'd be lucky to get 215 after what I was feeling after the weekend, but felt really good yesterday, so the recovery's pretty good. So, you know, just work my way through this year and see what happens next year.
Is there going to be more footy after this season, Jason?
I couldn't say at this point. I'm just aiming to focus on this season, and then from there see what happens. But you know, there's other things in my life that that I need to get sorted. So this bit of a gap year for me. So taking the opportunity where I can, and if I can play next year, that'd be great. But I'm not too sure at this point.
Well, we'd love to see you out there.
It's quite a remarkable story. We find it quite interesting here, and a lot of people out in the public eye do. Thank you so much for coming on board, and we wish you nothing but the best for West Perth and for you for the rest of the season.
Cheers, Jason.
No worries. Thank you.
From the studios of ECU, you're listening to the Monday Waffle.
Will, East Fremantle versus Claremont, what do you think?
I reckon, Dan, this is going to be game of the week. In one win, East Fremantle can jump from fourth to first on the ladder.
That's crazy.
They're at 137%, Subi are at 124. So if East Freo beat Claremont and Subi lose to Swan Districts, which is doable, they can jump from fourth to first.
And that's an amazing comeback story from the Sharks. I still think the Tigers are going to win, despite their performance last week against Subi.
I'm going to back the Sharks because I like a fairy tale ending.
Okay, there we go. Peel Thunder versus West Perth. This should be a good one as well, Will.
Yeah, West Perth looking to make it into the five, but I reckon Peel's going to take it out.
There you go. Perth versus South Freo. I think it's going to be a one-sided game here.
Yeah, it should be. It should be South Freo. They come out with the chockies there.
Yeah, Demons really haven't come out this year, have they? East Perth versus West Coast. Bottom of the ladder clash.
I've seen a couple. I've seen more East Perth games this season than other games, well, more full games. They do play good footy at times, and I think that they have the ability to be higher up on the ladder.
So you think we'll see these elements come out in force against the Eagles?
It sounds like a bit obvious, but if there's any team that they're really going to shine against, I reckon it can be against the Eagles, especially after what we discussed earlier on.
And now Swan Districts and Subi. Okay, the final game of the week. All these games from this week are going to be great games.
They actually are. It's going to be hard. It sucks they're all on at the same time.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
Lucky that the WAFC have organised almost every game to be broadcast, so you can go back and watch them at any time.
Well, even luckier, if you can't go and watch them broadcast live, tune in on Mondays for the Monday Waffle and hear us talk about it.
Exactly. But what's your tip, Will?
My tip is, I know what I said about East Fremantle, it sounds a bit counterintuitive, but Subi is probably going to take it out.
Absolutely, I agree. And that's our preview for round 7.
Don't forget to go to the Monday Waffle Facebook page and throw us a like and follow us on Twitter.
And that's all we have today on the Monday Waffle podcast. We'll be back next week with expert analysis of all 5 games of the Waffle.
Yep, so tune in every Monday for the latest episode of the Monday Waffle. But until then, follow us on all of our socials on Twitter and Facebook at the Monday Waffle.
And don't forget Instagram, Will, and we'd love to hear your feedback, guys. So please message us, get in touch if you want to tell us what you want to hear from the Monday Waffle. That's all for now. We'll see you next week.
Thanks, Dan.
Thanks for listening to the Monday Waffle, proudly brought to you by the students from ECU Broadcasting.
Tune in, guys. It's going to be fun.